We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sports update.
The update from One Bills Live. Players are here working. They'll get the weekend off, but the Buffalo Bills came up with a huge win, 26-15. Over the Dallas Cowboys yesterday. The Bills got out of it relatively injury-free. A good game on both sides of the ball for Buffalo with offensive production. Josh Allen threw for a touchdown, ran for a touchdown. John Brown threw for a touchdown in that game for the Bills. And the defense, sensational, holding the NFL's number one ranked offense to just 7 points until garbage time at the end of the game. The Buffalo Bills with a 26-15 win over the Cowboys. They are now 9-3. Weekend off, they play home against the Baltimore Ravens next week. Two other games in the NFL on Thanksgiving Day. Chicago beat Detroit by a score of 24-20. And last night, the Saints handled the Atlanta Falcons 26-18, the final score there. The Saints clinched the NFC South with that victory. Patriots have kicker issues. They signed kicker Kai Forbath to replace Nick Folk. Folk had an emergency appendectomy yesterday. And so Kai Forbath, an undrafted free agent out of UCLA in 2011, kicked for Washington, New Orleans, Minnesota, and Jacksonville, made 120 of 140 field goal attempts. Kai Forbath, the new kicker for the New England Patriots. Broncos are expected to start quarterback Drew Lock against the Chargers this Sunday. Lock has taken first-team reps all week. If he starts, it would be his first NFL start. Buffalo Sabres have an interesting home-and-home series with their rivals in Toronto. 4 o'clock face-off today at the KeyBank Center. Then they head to Toronto for the second half of the home-and-home series tomorrow night. First home-and-home series between these two teams since November of 2013, and Buffalo has not lost the home portion of a home-and-home series with Toronto since the first such series back in 1970. Sabres and the Leafs, 4 o'clock today at KeyBank Center, and that is the update from One Bills Drive. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome. Happy Thanksgiving. John Murphy, Steve Tasker in our One Buffalo studio as we talk about the Bills win and the rest of the NFL. And our Friday 1 o'clock guest joins us right now. He is executive producer, analyst of NFL Matchup on ESPN, longtime senior producer at NFL Films, Greg Cosell on the line with us. Hello, Greg. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Happy Thanksgiving to you guys. I appreciate it. And Murph, the heck with the rest of the NFL. The Bills are 9-3. Come on.
You're right. It was the game that mattered yesterday, wasn't it? It was the game that everybody anticipated and the game everybody's talking about today.
Without question, because I think probably for most, the outcome was unexpected. Certainly the nature of the game was unexpected. Maybe people thought the Bills had a very strong chance to win, but I don't think they figured the Bills would win fairly easily.
Yeah, and what did you see in that game? Certainly it looked like it was a double-digit win for the Buffalo Bills, and outside of the opening drive for the Cowboys, they, for an offense that has been really productive up to this point of the season, they just couldn't get anything going against the Bills' defense.
No, we can certainly start there. You know, first of all, the obvious points about the Bills' defense is they're very fundamentally sound. There's not a lot of mistakes made by individuals. So therefore, they tend not to give up big plays. But I think the thing that stood out to me, and I just finished watching the tape of both sides of the ball, because unfortunately, our big family dinner, we do a later dinner. We do about a 5 o'clock dinner, so I had to miss some of the game live. So just seeing the tape now really opened my eyes a bit. But some of the big plays I thought were just really good defensive calls against particular offensive play calls. I mean, that Lotulelei interception. You know, there's no way to know that, hey, that's the play call you're going to get on offense. But that particular zone blitz, which I think was the first one in the game, if I was sort of charting it as I was going, I think it was the first one in the game, and they really caught them. And obviously, two guys got in clean, but Milano got there first, and they were not able to execute the screen at all. And I thought that that was just a great play, defensive play design. You know, we always talk about offensive play design, but I thought that was great defensive play design.
Hey, Greg, we were talking about this. There's been a couple of games this year where the Bills have given up an early touchdown in a game to an opponent. The Giants did it back in week two, a couple of other games, and then, of course, yesterday, 75-yard scoring drive for the Cowboys. Do you see changes in the way the Bills play defense? Do they make in-game adjustments, you know, maybe after they get hit a little bit? And I'm just wondering how much of a factor the coaching is in the kind of the defensive success they've had.
Here's what we never know, guys, and Steve can certainly address this. A lot of times coaches plan on doing certain things throughout the course of a game, and people might see it as an adjustment, and it's not really an adjustment. It's just, hey, here's the approach we're going to take. We're going to open up with this. Then on the second possession, we're going to add this in. On the third possession, we're going to do this. So we never know if that's an in-game adjustment. You know, as I said, I'm pretty certain that Latulalai interception was the first zone blitz scheme they ran in the game, but that doesn't mean that was an adjustment. It just might have been something as the game progressed that they had in the game plan. So it's very hard to know the answer to that. You know how it goes, Murph. You've been doing this a long time. When a team loses, fans say they didn't make adjustments.
Yeah.
When a team wins, rarely do they say they made great adjustments, but you know, it's just the nature of the business.
Let's stay with the defense. A couple of times, they got four sacks on Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
I thought as good as the defensive pass rush was, I thought they got a lot of help from the back end of their defense with Dak having to maybe hold on to the ball for a half a beat longer, and guys with hot, fast motors just kept pursuing it and got there a couple of times.
Yeah, well, it's really interesting because there was one play in particular. That was the Oliver sack forced fumble, Steve, which came late in the second quarter. That was a 7-step drop by Prescott. And he actually had Gallup on the deep dig versus White, but it was a deep drop. It was an unbelievably good pass rush by Ed Oliver because he used his inside arm to rip underneath Suofilo, and he created leverage to turn and close. And then, of course, he had the second sack. I think it was the next series, and that was another zone blitz concept. We're seeing it right now. That was another zone blitz concept, and he was just able to slant away from the blitz because that was the design of the play, and he just drove Travis Frederick right back into the pocket. So Oliver really had some nice sacks in this game, some nice plays, but the zone blitz concept, starting with the little Tulalai interception, I think were really impactful in this game.
I wonder, the Bills got to feel pretty good, and it hasn't been a smooth ride for Ed Oliver in his first 12 games in his NFL career, but that's a big step forward for him, isn't it, from what you've seen on tape there, Greg? A couple of sacks and pass defense. I mean, that was obviously his best game so far.
I think the last 2 weeks, though, Murph, he's started to play better. I think it's been very clear on tape that Ed Oliver's starting to play better. The first one, where Suofilo, that's the kind of play you're really looking to see, because what you want to see is him become a little bit of a pass rusher, and not just by using quickness, because even the smaller quick guys, whether it's the Aaron Donalds or the Geno Atkins, those type of players, of which Oliver falls into that category body type wise, you can't always just win by being quicker than everybody. It's a contact sport. You're going to have to be able to win off contact, particularly in the middle of the offense, particularly when you're a defensive tackle. And I think that first sack against Suofilo really is a positive sign.
Well, let's switch over to the other side of the ball. One guy everybody's talking about is Josh Allen, the fourth down conversion where he picked up a loose ball and then bullied his way across the line. And the fact that he was at one point was 19 of 23 passing, he really played perhaps his best game as a pro.
Yeah, and I think what really stands out to me about him as you watch is he's much more precise now with his ball placement. It showed up in this game, both from the pocket and on the move. And here's a great example of that. That's a great throw where he moved. I also think that the other thing that stands out, which was a big concern when he came into this league out of Wyoming, was he's throwing now with much better pace and touch. And I think that area he's shown consistent improvement as the season has progressed. Because as Beasley has become a really important part of this offense, those kinds of throws require pace and touch. You can't drill 8-yard balls. And so I think he's improved. And, you know, I think overall the way I talk about the Bills offense, and I do want to get to one play, but let me just give you this one thing. I think it features a very multiple run game. This is a very good run game right now. I think it has a quarterback who can make big-time throws, and he can beat you with his legs and his playmaking dimension. He clearly has a playmaking dimension to his game. They have speed on the outside. They have enough misdirection and deception to create plays. And I think they just need the offensive line, I think, needs to just keep improving. I think they struggle a bit at times, both run blocking and in pass protection.
What's the play that you have in mind, Greg?
Well, it probably seemed like a relatively well, maybe it didn't, because it was a 3rd-and-6 conversion early in the fourth quarter, and it was a Singletary 14-yard reception. Do you happen to remember it, Murph?
Yeah, I do. I'm looking it up now, but I do recall it. It was big.
Well, the reason I really liked it is because I thought it showed Allen's growth as a pre-snap quarterback, because he recognized the man coverage based on the fact that they were an empty, and he saw that Thomas, the linebacker, was matched on Singletary. So I think he checked or audibled. He did something. You know, you don't know exactly. But what he did is he created a situation on the two-man boundary side where there was going to be kind of a natural rub or natural pick for Singletary with the linebacker Thomas. And it was really well done. He made an easy throw to Singletary, who then had room to run for 14 yards. I thought, and this is the play right here, we're looking at it. But I thought what he did pre-snap was so critical, because I looked first to see if they were in no huddle, and they were not in no huddle, which means that he checked or audible to this, and I thought it was really, really well done, creating an easy throw versus man coverage in a critical third down situation when I forget whether they were had 23-7 or 26-7 at the time, but obviously at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, it was 23-7. Right. They got that field goal. Greg Cosell, our guest, executive producer, analyst, NFL matchup on ESPN. You can catch it tomorrow, 7 a.m., on ESPN2, Sunday, 4 a.m., 6:30 a.m. on ESPN. Hey, Greg, you just mentioned the no-huddle, and I'm wondering, now it's three games. What do you think the Bills' offense is getting out of a no-huddle, upper, you know, a little bit up-tempo approach, not crazy up-tempo? What are they getting from that, and what are they getting from sort of a reliance on 11 personnel all the time?
Well, it's funny you say that. Those two things have really stood out the last couple of weeks, Murph. That's what they've become, an 11 personnel offense. I mean, you go back to the Denver game. I don't think they put base personnel on the field until pretty much the game was in hand.
Right.
You know, maybe one short yardage situation, but for the most part, they've evolved into an 11 personnel offense. They probably feel that that's their best personnel now with their receivers, certainly Beasley and Brown. And I was actually surprised Foster played, but I like Foster, and I know he doesn't have a lot of catches, but I still think he's a guy who adds a dimension to this offense. And this no huddle, look, they use it selectively. It's not necessarily a hurry up. It's just a no huddle tempo, and it forces the defense to declare. And I think that helps a young quarterback. Steve knows all about this way more than I do, but it forces the defense to declare, because the defense doesn't know when the ball's going to be snapped. And that really helps a young quarterback as he researches and investigates the defense before the snap of the ball.
One of the things you mentioned about this offense and whether they're no huddle or not is their run game is really multiple. Devin Singletary, no question about it now. He's the guy. 14 carries, 63 yards. Frank Gore is complimenting Singletary now. Talk a little bit more about the Bills' running game. Why do you think it's so multiple, and what do you look for in that?
Well, they run a lot of different concepts, which I think is good. They love to pull the center and guard, that guard-center pull scheme. They pull the guard and the tackle as well. They like to get Singletary on the perimeter where he's at his best. But they also run inside runs, you know, zone, a power. You know, there's a number of different run elements. And I think that Singletary has shown some juice. Obviously, Gore, at this point in his career, is the backup. And depending on the game, he'll get carries. But Singletary is the guy. And he's certainly got some short area burst. And they get him on the edge, and then they get him sticking that foot in the ground and getting downhill with space. Because when you can get him with some velocity and momentum, which is what you're trying to do when you get him on the edge with those pullers, you know, you can gain some yards. So I really like their run game, and I think it's getting better and better.
Yeah, next thing I want to ask you about, do you think they're – and I get all the emotion of it. Cole Beasley going back to play in Dallas. He was there for 8 years and not getting a chance to ruin. But there's got to be more to it than that. Just why was Cole Beasley such a big part of that game? Why was yesterday maybe the plan to get him the ball, and how was he effective where he hasn't really been that big a part of it up until this point, although he's catching a lot of balls? It's, you know what I mean? He's just
– Yeah.
I mean, yesterday was a special day, and it's got to be more than just the fact that it was in Dallas.
Oh, of course. And I think as the season progressed, he's become more and more important, because the reality is he works the middle of the field really well. Now, they're starting to use him in multiple ways. He's not just a slot. They line him up in other spots. But for the most part, he'll work inside. He's a really good route runner. You know, I thought another really big play was, I think they had second and 20, and he hit Beasley for 19 yards. You remember this play?
Right.
And, you know, Beasley ran a great, great route to create separation from the slot corner, Lewis. And he's just a really good route runner. As you know, Steve, when you run routes like that, you've got to give the quarterback some kind of indicator. And you've got to work off leverage. Because a lot of times, unless it's press man, you have to work off the leverage of the slot defender. And that takes time. That takes practice. And I think Beasley and Josh Allen are figuring that out really well. And Josh is getting a real good sense of Beasley's indicators, and they're able to hit those drive-sustaining type throws, which are absolutely critical to an offense.
Hey, Greg, we can't leave the Bills game yesterday without mentioning their opponents, the Cowboys, who most expected would come out with the win yesterday. And I know there's a ton of drama going on there in Dallas, and I don't care about the drama, but what do you think it is that leads that very talented roster to underperform at a pretty consistent level this year? What's their problem, do you think?
I'm fascinated by this, Murph, and I got to tell you, because I look at their offensive talent in particular, and I think they're top 2-3 in the league.
Yeah,
I think when you look at their receiving trio, I think when you look at their back, when you look at their O-line, when you look at the quarterback, I think certainly with the weapons they have, they're top 2-3 in the league. And they've put up numbers, and you know, certainly numbers, people will end up saying numbers are for losers, but they were number one ranked in offense. Throwing the ball, Prescott, I think, was leading the league in passing yards. They're doing that. Now, the last number of weeks, they hadn't run the ball as well as we expect the Cowboys to run the ball. And yesterday, they had to give up on the run game because of the nature of the game. And who knows, because Elliott had a couple of good runs. He had the 30-yarder. He had a couple of plus 10 runs. So who knows what would have happened if this game was close. But offensively, I'm really struggling as to what's going on, because something is missing, yet the numbers are really, really good, and the talent is clearly high level.
Yeah, and I agree. And that's maybe why there's so much drama down there. That just seems to be somebody who looks great, but it just feels sick. You know what I mean? They're just not there playing their best. They got a fever, they got something, a sore tooth, something's bothering them, and they can't be their full selves because of the talent on their team. I got to move on. I want to ask you about this, really, the intriguing game of the weekend, the 49ers and the Ravens. How do you see this? And the Ravens are the Bills' next opponent a week from Sunday. What do the Ravens do that is such a big – you know, it's such a problem for defenses, and I mean, we've talked about this before, that front four for San Francisco may be the answer to defending them.
Well, in all honesty, I'm not smart enough to figure out how you defend this offense, because it's a really difficult offense to defend with a truly electric quarterback when it comes to running. And what they do, I can only tell you what they do. Like I said, I can't tell you how to defend it, but what they do is they put him in the pistol. They often play with two and three tight ends. They're multiple with their formations in the backfield. There's a lot of motion. Motion is a critical part of what they do. So what happens a lot is teams, because there's two tight ends and three tight ends on the field, is teams match up with their base defense. So they have bigger, slower players on the field. So they're matching up to personnel. They're not matching up to the concepts and the speed of the offense. And I think that causes some problems. Now, that doesn't automatically mean if you put smaller, faster people on the field that you stop them. But I think that they play to the fact that, hey, we can line up with two and three tight ends. You'll have big people, and you just can't defend our quarterback getting on the perimeter. You just don't have people to do that. And then the other part of that is, in the pass game, because there's so much in the backfield that creates conflict for defenders, it then creates, by NFL standards, relatively easy throws for Lamar Jackson to open receivers, and of course he's making those throws.
San Francisco, number one defense in the league, Greg. They'll have some answers for Baltimore, no?
Well, again, they're a defense that they're based on their front four. They do have speed at linebacker. They're not highly nuanced with pressure packages or anything like that. But I think you have to have something a little different within what you do. you can't all of a sudden put in a brand new defense in 3 days or 4 days. So it has to be something within your base concepts. But I think you can't just line up and say, hey, we have good players, so we'll be able to handle them. I think you have to have something.
Will the Raiders be able to rebound after getting their heads handed to them by the Jets last weekend? They go to Kansas City in a game that you would think if it would be a real rivalry game, but all of a sudden now the Raiders don't look like they've got – they're hitting on all cylinders, and the Chiefs look like they may be getting better with Patrick Mahomes' health getting better and better.
Yeah, you know, it's funny how this league works, Steve. There's only 16 of these games, so when a team has a really, really bad game, it sticks out. And the Raiders had played really good football and looked like a team on the come until this past week. Now, this past week, to me, is not representative of who they are, but going to Kansas City with the Raider defense, which has gotten better, quite honestly. I know they didn't perform well against the Jets, but it has gotten better throughout the course of the season. I don't think they can get involved in a shootout. Now, I know the game's not going to be 13-10, but I don't think they can get caught up in a game where they'd have to score 40 to win. So I look at their defense as really being the important piece to this game.
Greg, one more for you, and it deals with your show this week. I saw how you guys were, you and Matt Bowen, have taken a look at some of the best cornerbacks in the league, the coldest corners in the league, including Buffalo's own Trey White, huh?
Matt loves Tre'Davious White. I do too. But he said, I want to do Tre'Davious White. I said, fine, knock yourself out. But I love White. And you look, you guys know he's used as a matchup corner now. He matched up against Cooper. You know, he matches up against opponents' top receivers when they line up outside. So, you know, I think that he's one of those guys. But, you know, we didn't spend a lot of time talking about the Bills players on defense, but and I've mentioned him now for 2 years, but I think Milano is really, really good. I think Edmonds is a really solid player. And those two safeties, they might be overlooked from a media perspective. And look, you guys know better than I that Buffalo doesn't get a lot of national attention, which is a shame. But I think Poyer and Hyde are really, really good safeties.
I'm okay with the attention, aren't you, Steve? We're good.
Yeah, we're fine where we're at.
Steve's getting Hall of Fame attention. How about that, Greg? Yeah,
that is awesome. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been it's an honor. It's fun. It's fun. Murph won't let it go.
I'm a campaign manager.
I'm
going
to have to live with this for a couple of months.
This is awesome, Steve.
It is.
You absolutely deserve to be talked about that way.
I appreciate it. Thanks.
Greg, have a great holiday weekend. We'll talk to you next Friday. Thank you.
All right, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Greg Cosell, executive producer, analyst, NFL matchup on ESPN. He is senior producer at NFL Films. You can see the ESPN show tomorrow, 7 a.m. on ESPN2, Sunday, 4 a.m., 6:30 a.m. on ESPN. Speaking of the Hall of Fame, you got your buddy coming up next, Bruce Smith,
yeah.
Hall of Famer. Going to join us when we return. Come on back for that.
Big man.
One Bills Live, presented by Kalata Health from the Seneca Studio at One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This movie is rated R. Adult language and violence. Lots of it.
I have an opportunity here to do something special.
We got Bruce Dad. Bad things.
Bad things, man. Bruce wanted to be the all-time sack leader from the very beginning.
Think of like LeBron James as a basketball player playing football and playing defensive end.
Offensive linemen, they don't want to be paired up against him. What they were afraid of was getting made to look stupid.
Oh, baby! Oh, baby!
Hammer time.
Want that defensive player of the year now.
That statement needed to be made.
I love Bruce. I mean, I love him like a brother.
An icon, leader of men.
He's the greatest ever played.
Bruce Smith has
got him.
He's got the record.
The end game was to be this player that nobody would ever forget about.
Bruce Smith, The Football Life, coming up tonight, 10 o'clock on NFL Network. John Murphy, Steve Tasker here in our Orchard Park studio, and joining us on the line, the Hall of Famer himself, Bruce Smith. Bruce, happy Thanksgiving. Good to have you on the show with us here today.
John, happy Thanksgiving to you as well, and all the fans in Buffalo, and happy Thanksgiving to my dear friend and greatest all-around special teams player that ever played the game, Steve Tasker.
Hey, thanks, Bruce. It's great to see you, man. Happy Thanksgiving to you and the family, Carmen and Alston and everybody. What was the funnest? This big program's coming on, and this is I'm surprised it took this long for them to do a Football Life on you, but because we find out a lot of stuff people in Western New York were never privy to. You know, you're beginning up in Virginia, you're growing up, and all of the things that you went through. What was the funnest part for you in getting this program made?
Well, what an honor and a pleasure to have this documentary shot. I got to tell you, it was one of the most difficult times. The first day we had to shoot in Virginia Beach, I got in a phone call at 5 a.m. in the morning that one of my dearest friends in the whole world had just gotten hit by a car and was killed in an accident. And that was the late, great, pound-for-pound, best fighter in the world, Pernell Sweepy Whitaker.
Yeah.
And I was heartbroken. I couldn't get myself together for quite some time heading into the shoot. And finally, I settled down for a short period of time, and we were able to start shooting the show. I got emotional during the show. We had to pause and stop, but I got to tell you, it was a very trying time for me to gather myself together as we commenced to shooting this shoot. But once we were able to get me settled down, everything just seemed to flow and come together.
Bruce Smith, the documentary, Bruce Smith, The Football Life, 10 o'clock tonight on NFL Network. Bruce, fans here in Buffalo feel like they know you, obviously, from your Hall of Fame career here, but what do you think they might not know about you that might come out as they watch this documentary tonight?
Well, it talks about my childhood and growing up and being bullied as a kid. Not coming into my own until I actually started playing sports. The people that influenced me, my mother and father, and quite frankly, had I not listened to my father and his instilling in me never to quit in life at anything that I embark upon, this story would have never been told, and it's a good and a great learning lesson and learning tool for kids that are growing up, having to endure being bullied, having to go through adversity, So these are the things that I wanted to tell. And just imagine with this 19-year Hall of Fame career and all the accolades and awards, having to, or the NFL films having to jam in all of that into an hour-long special. It's somewhat of an injustice, but they did an outstanding job. There's so much more to be told, but I'm grateful and thankful that this documentary was shot.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much into this thing, and we're all asked, like you gave me the little commercial right at the top of this thing where you said, you know, it's about my special team stuff. And of course, when you get in the Hall of Fame, I was asked a lot of stuff then. And I always told people you're the best defensive end, you know, certainly best defensive player during your generation and at times of her career. You were the best player at any position in the league. And one of the things that I found out during the making of this documentary is you had more tackles as a defensive lineman than anybody in the history of the league. I didn't, and, you know, they kind of researched. Yeah. Some of this stuff seems meaningless at the time and all that, but when you go back and look at it, it's like, this is 100 years, and you played for, you know. And I told people you were a good defensive end on first and second down, too, because that's how you got to be the pass rusher, right? So, So let me ask you now. You were known for being out there on three. You were a three-down player. You made a lot of running. You made more running tackles in the run game than anybody in the history of the game. And, you know, you never really took credit for that because you also had, you know, by the way, 200 sacks. So I want to ask you that. We came out in the same year. You were drafted in 85. I was drafted in 85. Or maybe you were 84. I don't know. But how do you feel now? You live in Virginia Beach. Virginia has always been your home, and there you are.
Yeah, well, I feel like I played 100 years.
Yeah, there you go.
It's the 100-year anniversary. I feel like I played 100 years. And, hey, I just finished rubbing some CBD on my joints just a few minutes ago. No, man, I can't complain. I had some of the best medical staff with Bud and Abe at the helm and Dr. Wiseman and I had the best orthopedic surgeons that were going. Dr. Richard Stedman out in Vail, Colorado, and Dr. Andrews in Birmingham, Alabama, along with Dr. Yoakum in California, who did my shoulder surgeries. So I got to tell you, they looked after my best interests and for life after football and longevity for my career. And they just did an outstanding job. And thank God for Marv and Bill Polian, understanding in order for me to keep performing at a high level, I needed the best medical attention in terms of when I needed to have surgeries. And a lot of people don't know it. I spent just about half, if not more than half of my career having surgeries during the offseason. And I was able to recover from that because I had such expert medical professionals that were attending to me, and Marv and Bill and Hall of Famer owner Ralph Wilson were very patient and allowed me to come back. And I didn't miss very much time, and I'm very grateful and thankful for that.
One of the messages that comes out of your football life, this documentary about your life, is, you know, it was a roller coaster for you. I mean, you were suspended, you had injuries, you had surgeries half the time, and it really is. I mean, that really is the message. And you talked about the young, but you must speak to, as a Hall of Famer, you speak to groups all the time, and part of your message has to be. It's not about – sometimes there are bad consequences of things we do. Sometimes there are bumps in the road and challenges. Yep. But your response to them has to be one of a champion. And you did that in so many instances. And that's really the message of your life story here on NFL Network.
Yeah, it was a journey, Steve. And that journey is filled with some bumps in the road, some poor decisions, some hard lessons learned, and the smart ones understand, and they grow from the mistakes that they've made, and they keep pressing on. And that's what I was able to do. It was such a blessing to have all of you guys from Jim, and relationship that I built with Jim, and his mother had a lot to do with that. From Daryl Talley being my roommate for 7 or 8 years on road trips to Cornelius, to Thurman, to Andre, and I got to tell you, none of us would be where we are today had it not been for Marv Levy. Just a leader of men, and he taught us how not to only be successful on the football field, but how to be successful in life, in men with character and accountability and service to the community. And again, that's what I'm so grateful and thankful about.
Bruce Smith, our guest, he's going to be profiled in A Football Life on NFL Network tonight, 10 o'clock. Bruce, we got a big kick out of Steve telling us about the text chain that he has with all of you guys, your Hall of Famers, your Super Bowl Bills. And especially last night, yesterday, as the Bills' victory became apparent, and Steve thinks there might have been some wine-aided takes coming over the, down the line.
Bruce, all I can say, Bruce, is that – listen, Bruce, all I can say is the last thing that Cornelius texted, I could not read.
Yeah, it made no sense.
It
whatsoever.
Made absolutely no sense. And I said there was a lot of scar tissue that came out about the Dallas Cowboys in that text loop last night. Am I right?
Yeah, man. We had a chain going during the game, and it, you know, people just don't understand it. It just doesn't take place during a football game. This goes on constantly throughout the week. Whether I start it or Thurman starts it but we can always count on a smart, sarcastic comment or laugh coming out of Steve Tasker's mouth. Cricknack, who lives in the backwoods
in Georgia,
and can't
yeah.
get any type of overnight mail service because he's in the woods Christmas. Somewhere and they're still using outhouses and whatnot. But it's just amazing, man, to just pick up the phone and shoot a text, and then you'll have four or five responses, and that'll go on for about three 30 minutes or so. And
yeah,
and if it happens to be during a game, we know that there's some festive atmospheres that are taking place. I know when I text yesterday during the game, Steve sends me back a picture of my wine glass from my retirement of my jersey, and then Thurman sends back a wine glass.
The same thing.
And obviously, both of them were full, but I can imagine a few minutes later that they were empty.
Yeah. What did you think of the game? What did you think of the Bills' win at Dallas yesterday, Bruce?
Well, they executed. And make no mistake about it, that game was won on the offense and defensive line. They dominated the football game. They gave our quarterback a tremendous time to sit back there in the pocket and pick out, go from his first receiver to his second receiver, sometimes to his third receiver. That was outstanding play by the offensive line and the defensive line. They shut the run down, and they got after Dak. I was thoroughly impressed. I text Sean after the ball game was over, please relay this message to the O-line and D-line. You guys made us extremely proud yesterday.
A lot of fun. Hey, Bruce, we're looking forward to watching this tonight. Thanks for spending a few minutes with us here today. Have a great holiday weekend.
Go Hokies.
Yeah, same to you guys. Go Hokies. You see, I got my T-shirt on. I had Bills on yesterday. I've got Virginia Tech on right now. So.
Great. Thanks, Bruce.
Thanks, Bruce.
Bruce Smith, the Hall of Famer, joining us on the line. A Football Life. Bruce Smith tonight, 10 p.m. on NFL Network. Should be worth watching. And you, what do you think? You got about most of the screen time in that, half of it? What?
No, I'm sprinkled throughout.
Sprinkled
no
throughout?
Question, yeah.
Good.
It's good. It's good. I've seen it. It's very well done.
Good.
Very well done.
Excellent. Steve and I coming back with more. Phone us in. Let us know what you thought about the game. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. One Bills Live presented by Kalata Health from the Seneca Studio in Orchard Park. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back. We should revisit our Twitter poll. What is the correct reaction to the Bills' win over the Cowboys? It just, the question just cracks you up, right?
It's
what's the right way to act after that victory yesterday? What do you think? We've got more than we got about 2,500 votes in, which is approaching record
status. The choices
status.
Are the really yeah. fun part of the entire
what's
thing.
What's the correct reaction? Is it nothing to see here, stay humble and hungry? That's what 38% of you say. Look, it's a close vote. Is the correct reaction just trust the process? 34% of you say that. Is the correct reaction to say, shh, I'm still celebrating? 21% say that. 6% say, what's a Super Bowl ticket cost?
I love it.
What is the correct reaction? We'd love to hear from you. 803-0550, toll free, 1-888-550-2550.
I will go on record as saying, hey, they're all appropriate responses.
Sure. I've heard them all.
Yeah, a day after. Right.
In less than 24 hours, you've heard them all. Yeah. Kevin on the line in Hamburg. Hello, Kevin. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay.
I'd like to say is now that the Bills prove themselves that they can be in the spotlight on Thanksgiving without choking like they sometimes used to do.
When did they do that, Kevin?
Well, not choke, but like when they stunk a couple years ago on Thursday night, not on that Jet game, remember, when they didn't do too well? But now they prove themselves they can be on Thanksgiving in front of the whole America and prove that they can kick some butt. I hope next year the Thanksgiving game is a prime time at night game, maybe.
Well, that might be interesting. Look, and we only have a minute here, Steve, but I don't think they – look, I get it, the narrative, the Bills aren't respected, but I don't think they have embarrassed themselves. I said this Tuesday on the show. In the past, on national TV, I really don't.
They were 6-10 last year. They're not going to get Monday night games this year. They're not going to get – you know, they got the one primetime game they got is the one at 4:30 on Thanksgiving. That's the one they get, and the Thursday night game that everybody gets. That's all you can do.
Yep. All right, we'll take more calls in the third and final hour of the show. The third hour is going to be radio only. Sabres getting ready to play at 4 o'clock against the Toronto Maple Leafs, and the MSG crowd will break free. So that's coming up.
Can I leave and watch the game?
Sure.
Thanks, man.
Well, the game doesn't start till 4, so stick around till 4.
All right, I'll stick around.
We got more radio to come and more calls to take, and Chris Brown's going to join us from BuffaloBills.com, so come on back for that. It is One Bills Live coming to you from the Seneca Studio on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.